Praise the Lord, everybody. I thought I was too big to miss. I didn't realize I could be looked over. That's kind of a compliment to me, to be honest with you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Ken if he would get ready to bring those scriptures up. I'll get there shortly, but I want to jump into something tonight that I've been contemplating on for a while now. And for the first time in a long time, you know, I actually got to pull off, well, I should say God's got to pull off without changing it right in mid-stride for me, and I'm kind of glad for that tonight. There is a topic that's been holding true for a while, and I've been seeing it. Not only been seeing it in the church world, I've been seeing it in families, I've been seeing it in politics, been seeing it. And it doesn't take much to see it, Brother Paul, if you know what you're looking for. And it's the hardening of the heart. You know, I remember sitting at home one time, and Sister Rainey and I was watching the news, and there was a story came on, and I was sitting there scrolling through my phone, kind of listening half-heartedly what was going on. And is this okay? I want to tone down a little bit for you tonight, because I really want to get this across to you. But as I'm sitting there and I'm listening to this, you know, it was talking about a young woman that was raped and murdered. And it must have hit a nerve with Rainey because I wasn't paying attention or something. And that's okay. Because she looked at me, she said, "Dad, you know, it's really sad when we become so desensitized that nothing in the world shocks us anymore." And I'm like, you know, I never have forgot her saying that to me. And for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years probably, I've kind of thought on this subject, and it kind of comes and it kind of goes. But, you know, we see the political conundrum that our country's in right now. There's no debate about that. I mean, you got guys that are thinking it's okay to be women, and women are thinking it's okay to be guy, and they're all confused trying to use litter box in the corner. You know, it's crazy. And you know, if you would have told me that I ever would have saw a country that would do something like that, I would have said there's no way, because God's country don't do stuff like that, you know. This nation was built upon the fundamentals of Holy Ghost living. That's why it has prospered as much as it has, until we begin to let the hardness of the heart take over. I went back a little ways back into the scriptures, you know, and one thing that stuck out with me, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart happened because God did it. God did that. You know, he brought that to fruition because he had to set the children of Israel. I don't have to go into the story. You all know the story. It says, and I'm going to read you a couple verses from that story, though, in Exodus 7:3. It says, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Exodus 7:22, it says, "And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said." Exodus 9:34, "And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart." You see, I made the transition in from God hardened his heart for a purpose, but Pharaoh took that and let it manifest into his life, and it began to make him something that he really, probably really wasn't. But because of that, and then when the rain ceased, and just like some of us, okay, and I'm going to get a little nosy with you here and personal with you for a second, we have turmoil in our lives, and we pray, and all of a sudden the rain and the storm is gone, and we forget who took the rain and the storms and the troubles out of our life, and we sin yet the more. We pick it back up, and we take off right where we left off. You know, I've heard it said many times, when we come to the altar and we lay down, and the things that are easily besetting us, Brother Paul, we're supposed to leave them at the altar, not pick them back up. And you can always tell when a person is at the altar and they're praying, and they're really seeking something from God, but they really don't know how to let go. They really don't know how to let go of that thing and leave it there. And you can watch them. Spiritually speaking, I've watched it. I've watched them pick it back up and walk back to their seats, and they're still carrying the same thing they went up there to lay down. And that's because of the hardening of the heart. The hardening of the heart. And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart and his servants. So see how contagious it is? In the book of Hebrews, in the third chapter, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart, unbelief, in departing from the living of God. Exhort one another daily." Exhort one another daily. Okay? "While it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I've heard this explained so many times. The devil don't come at you with a big pitchfork and a big old tail and ugly horns and everything else and says, "Hey, I'm the enemy and I'm going to try you." He comes at you in a small, subtle, little stinging voice that'll cause you to get away from the path that God has laid out for you to think on. And he does that through people. Yeah, I said people. Because ultimately, the only way the devil is going to work is if people allow it to. That's the only way he's going to work. Just like if you want God to work in your life, the only way he's going to work in your life is if you allow him to. The devil's not going to come at you, jabbing you, saying, "Here I am, you're going to do it like this, and I'm going to put you in this situation, and you're going to do it like that." That's not the way he does things. He has people that is willing to do his works. I heard a real good saying the other day by a young lady. I was watching a YouTube video, and she was listening to some pastors that they were preaching some things, and I'm going, "That's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true," you know, as she's listening to it. And then she comes back in and she said, "You people are employees of the enemy." She said, "You're sowing deceit and you're sowing confusion and you're not men of God. You are actually hired by the enemy and you're being put in churches to cause people to sin and cause them to miss out on the glory of God." And I went, "Wow, that's absolutely true." There is so many pastors out there that are all about the money and all about the congregation and how many people, you know, they can get sitting in the seats, and they don't care about your souls. They're there for one reason, and that's to sow lies into your life to cause you to doubt somebody that's really trying to tell you the truth. And then you go on and you listen to that, and then you sin yet the more. You don't get away from the things that's supposed to be laid down. You pick up more and put with them, and it makes it harder and harder to lay down. A lying tongue, deceitful words. And I could go on and on and on, and I will go on and on and on here in a second. I'm going to read some more things to you about that kind of stuff. It says, For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear the voice, harden not your hearts as the provocation. And the word provocation, I looked that up. That's called rebellion. And it's kind of ironic because this week my cousin or my niece, Nicole, and her dad and mom and all of us were sitting out front and we started talking about some things. And the word rebellion, for some reason, just kept popping up. And I thought, man, that goes right along with the hardening of the heart. People says, "Oh, you don't judge me." No, you're right. We're not your judge, but we are fruit inspectors. And the Bible says, "Know those that labor among you and mark them that cause division and come out from amongst them and touch no unclean thing." So you have a right when there's somebody sitting at the table running their mouth about something they shouldn't be running their mouth about. You have that right to get up and walk away. You make that decision to stay there and partake in that sin. You don't have that right if you're a child of God, because I'm going to tell you right now, I can guarantee you, if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, instantly when somebody starts doing things like that, the Spirit of God's going to say, "You know that's not right." Just like when I was watching those videos the other day and that man was up there speaking all this dumb stuff and that congregation was clapping and hurrahing and praying him, you know, shouting the place down, I'm going, "That ain't right." How many of those people, Brother Paul, are going to walk out of there and die sinners because of what that man just professed to them? You know, we can't take the responsibility off of ourselves no matter how hard we try. We can't get there. It don't work. I was just talking to a young lady out there a while ago in the foyer, and she was saying, well, so-and-so does this because of so-and-so. I'm like, that don't hold water. That's like pouring water through a strainer. It don't stay. You can't blame people for your shortcomings. You can't blame people for your sin. You pick up the sin. You commit the sin. You're the one that does the sin. I can't go back and say, well, my wife got mad at me, so I went and did this because I wanted to get even with her, and that makes it okay. That's not the way it works. My wife did this to me, so we sat down and we had a conversation about it, and we worked it out. I used to be the kind of guy, I'm gonna be completely transparent with you right now. I used to be the kind of guy, when I sinned, I would think about somebody else that was in the church that was living better than me, and I would hear them say or do something once in a while, and I would go, well, if they do this, then I can do this, and it's okay. Again, it's like pouring water through a strainer. It don't hold. You can't say because so-and-so sinned, it's okay for you to sin. It don't work like that at all. And when you stand before God, he's not going to say, well, you know what? You sinned. And well, God so-and-so done this, so I thought it would be okay if I did that. And God's going to go, no, that don't work. That's not the way this program's played. You picked up your cross. The Bible said, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, I picked up my cross. I throwed it over my shoulders, Brother Don, and I got to learn to get rid of sin as I go. I like what Pastor Biddle said a while ago about letting the cataracts fall off of your eyes, spiritually speaking. Because when you begin to see things clearly, you see that, hey, you know what? When you look into a glass, you forget what manner of man you were. Okay? Because God looks at you and says, I don't like that in you. And then you look back at yourself, you know what, God? I don't like that in me neither. That's not of you. That's not of you at all. And if I can't lay that down, then God, guess what? I'm going to need your help. And let's face it, folks. There's some things. I said in the 29 meeting, and I listened to people talk about being addicted to things, and we had a session called Breakout. And I got so much out of that session, it wasn't funny. You know why I got so much out of that session? Because it made me realize what kind of man I was. And that's what it was put there for. That's what Brother Paul put it in there for, to get us out there, to get us to talk about things. As men, we don't talk about things like that because we're men. We're masculine. We don't have no feelings. In turmoil, we stand strong. We're supposed to be. That's what God told us to be. But God also told us to be compassionate, to be loving, to be understanding, to choose our words wisely and not try to offend people with our words, not try to offend people with our actions. You know, so many times our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words do. You can come up to me and tell me all day long you love me. You know what it's going to do? It's going to go whoosh, right straight through. Not even make a pit stop. You know why? Because the actions that you're showing me shows me just the opposite. You're not showing me you love me. You're telling me you don't by your actions. You know, Jesus came upon the face of the earth. He walked, and he gave us an example to live by. And don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. We're not going to make it there until we see God for ourselves in heaven, okay? But we are supposed to strive to be perfect. Getting rid of a hardened heart is one of the biggest things you could possibly do. I said the other day that belief was a battle cry for a saint. And I think getting rid of the hardened heart is a victory cry. It's a victory cry because you know when you have compassion. I'm just going to tell you like this. I was listening to a pastor the other day, and he was talking about Charlie Kirk. And he said, I heard Brother Caleb mention it the other day, Kingdom Speak. Levi turned me on to that a long time ago, and I'm not going to lie. It runs in the background on my TV every day most of the time because they just talk about so much different things, so many different things. And Pastor McKellop said, you know, one thing I loved about Charlie Kirk was he was such a faith-forward man. Was he perfect? No. But he was faith-forward. And what he meant by that, he wasn't afraid to share his faith with anybody. Even in the eyes of adversity, even in his death, he was still sharing his faith with people. And he said, you know, if that man's death, he said, I don't even know that man. He said, but if that man's death didn't hit you in the gut like a major hard gut punch, then you're not a child of God. He said, anytime we lose a brother or sister in Christ, something like that, he said, that's traumatic to the world. It doesn't stop at local churches. You know, it really doesn't. I would love to know that I had that kind of impact in this world, that when I died, people go, man, that's like getting a gut punch in the stomach. Brother Carl's gone. What are we going to do without him? You're going to go on. You're going to go on. Just like when Jesus died, that was a gut punch to the world. But guess what? 12 men picked up and they went ahead and they done what they had to do to cause it to blossom and prosper throughout history. And you and I are sitting in church today because of it. And it all starts with getting rid of a hardened heart. I can't get that across to you enough. It starts with getting rid of a hardened heart. If you got a hardened heart, guess what? You're never going to experience true love. True love is Christ. And if you got a hardened heart, I'm not saying don't stand up against what's right and wrong or whatever the case might be. If somebody's doing something wrong, by all means, I think as a child of God, we should share that with them and say, hey, you know what? I don't really appreciate you doing that around me. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when that line's drawn in the sand, it's harder for that sin that person's creating to get back into you, because the enemy knows, okay, I can't go through this way, so I got to back up and figure out a back door into that person's life. Well, guess what? God's got my back. So I draw the line in the sand. God's got my back. Guess what? That sin's not coming back around here no more unless I choose to take down and wipe away that little line in the sand. And if I make that decision, guess what? Katie barred the doors. The enemy's coming in full bore, and he's going to hit it hard. And he's going to bring back seven demons seven times more deadly than himself. And that might seem a little bit weird to you, but speaking as a man that's been there, a man that has experienced the enemy in the worst possible way, looking to the sky and seeing the stars turn blood red, foaming at the mouth, not being able to say anything, you might think that don't really happen. I'm here to tell you today, it happened to me. It happened to me because I hardened my heart and I got away from the calling that God had called me into, and the enemy hit me, and he hit me both barrels. Why do you think I'm so afraid of things like that anymore? Why do you think I draw those lines in the sand and I don't want those things around me no more? I've lost friends because I've drawn lines in the sand and said, don't even talk like that around me no more. Don't come talking like that around me. I don't want to hear your filthy jokes. I don't want to hear your filthy conversations. I don't want to hear any of that stuff, because I'm trying to get rid of that hardened heart. So many times we come in here and we listen to messages and we'll go out of here, and please don't say you don't do it, because I guarantee you there's a pretty good chance you've done it once or twice in your life. You'll come in here and you'll listen to a really fireball message or a really good teaching message, and you'll go right back out of here and do the same stuff you came in here doing. If you're not changing, you're not growing. If you're not changing, you're not improving. If you're not increasing, guess what? You're not standing still. You're decreasing. The enemy's not going to let you stand still. He's going to bring things in even harder than what they were before to try and battle you even harder than you were battled before. Hebrews 4. Brother Ken, have you got those scriptures? It says, Hebrews 4, 5 through 10. It says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they too whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Unbelief. I think this little funny scenario I told my son the other day. I said, he's trying to figure out what he wants to do with his new job situation. I said, you got to believe it. You just got to believe it. If you really want it, you got to believe it that God's going to give it to you. And I thought about that many, many times. And as we battled the situation with Kim, and as we battled the situation with other people in our life, you know, when you get down to your real root belief and you're really faithful and you know that God's going to take care of that situation, that's when your heart is beginning to get less hard and less hard and less hard. And that's when God's happy with you. That's when God's happy with you. When I lowered my only child in the ground, after preaching his message, Brother Mike and Brother Kevin and I went to a meeting the other day, and guess who was there? Lo and behold, it was one of Eric's friends. His name's Shane Palmer. He's the one who made the altar call at my son's funeral. He walked up to me and said, would you mind if I have an altar call? I said, by all means. That's what we're here for. We're here not to say goodbye. We're here to say see you tomorrow. We're not here to say goodbye. And if we can get somebody saved because of it, then by all means, please do. That young man ended up getting back out in the world, started doing all the crazy things he used to do, got all kinds of messed up. And he told me the other day when I saw him, he said, man, I finally got my life straightened out again. He said, I'm now doing jail ministry. And I'm going, wow. Because I know what he got into. I know where he went back to. I seen the turmoil that was in his life. He was friend with my son for a long time. And he said, I finally got back in. And you know what? He had to get rid of that hardened heart to get there. People will make your heart hard. They will cause you to sin. Sometimes people do it aware, and sometimes they do it unaware. But be aware, people will make you sin. They will put something in your head to cause you to believe an idea that's not true, and you'll see things as though they are not. That's word. You'll see things as they are not, but you believe in your feeble little finite mind it is true, and it's not. And God's going, okay, slow down, Brother Carl. Back up. Let me get you back on trail here. Let me show you where you need to be to get back to where you should have been already. But because of your hardened heart beginning to come back into your life, see, I lived through a backslidden situation. I know what it's all about. After I preached my son's funeral, 1 year to the day, I fell and went backsliding, and I didn't come back to church for 5 years. And you can trust me, I got into a lot of stuff back then. And thank God that I had a praying mom. Thank God that I had praying saints around me. Thank God that I had people that wouldn't give up on me. Thank God they saw that there was still good left in Brother Carl and they weren't willing to let it go. Thank God they didn't stop praying and now it's a changed situation for me. Do I have everything figured out? No. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you I do. There's still times I get so mad I can't see straight. Bible says be angry and sin not. It's okay to get mad. But don't let it get inside your heart and start bitterness rolling. Because once bitterness starts to bake, guess what? It becomes a very big biscuit. It does. And sometimes it'll even get cake size. You have to be cautious on how you let things get into your heart and into your mind. You know, I love the fact that God has showed me that a hardened heart is never going to see heaven. A hardened heart won't see heaven. So I'm just going to tell you tonight. If you have a hardened heart, or if you even have a crusty shell like a little M&M candy shell around your heart, you're still not going to make it to heaven. That's got to go away, folks. We have enough time battling the things of this world. We see things going chaotic all the way around us right now. We have enough time battling this stuff like this. We don't have time for battleship in the church. It's supposed to be fellowship, not battleship. We can't be battling against our fellow man and fighting the enemy at the same time. Guess what? You're fighting two enemies. You can't do that. It don't work that way. And yes, there is churches out there that do teach the wrong thing. I get so tired of hearing people say, well, we're all going to make it to heaven. Guess what? Newsflash, no, you're not. No, you're not. There is doctrines out there that are doctrines of the devil, and they are classified as heretic teaching. And they will cause you to die and go to a devil's hell. That's why it's up to each and every one of us. You know, we come in here, and Pastor John, we come in here and we come to the altar. I'm going to give you a little play-by-play right quick, okay? All you football fans, okay? You come up here at the altar, you lay down your sins, you ask for forgiveness, and you're sincere in your heart. You get up, you go to the pastor and say, Pastor John, I want to have a Bible study. I want to learn how to be baptized. I want to learn how it takes to be a child of God. Pastor John takes time out of his busy schedule to sit down and have a Bible study with you and teaches you all these things. And you soak it all up, write it all down, say, hey, I got this all figured out. All right, let's go to the water. I'm ready to get this done. Then you go to the water and you get baptized and come up, and you're supposed to come up a new creature. Sometimes you go down the old creature and you come up that old creature. Because you really didn't mean what you professed to Pastor John. You didn't really mean it when you said you were ready for it. You didn't really mean it when you said you were ready for the change. Because when those changes start coming and taking place in your life, we don't want to lay that down. Oh, that's my sin. I don't want to let that go right now. Pornography, I don't want to let that go. Adultery, I don't want to let that go. Drinking, I don't want to let that go. Backstabbing people, I don't want to let that go. Tell Baron, I don't want to let that go. Lying, I don't want to let that go. Well, come on. You got to say amen or oh me. That's what my grandfather used to say when he preached these kind of messages. It's either amen or oh me. Because he also said a rock goes into a pack of dogs. Guess which one yells the loudest? The one the rock hits. So there's been many times that I've had to roll my toes back and then go, nope, you know what? Those toes need to be stepped on, Sister Serena. I need correction in my life. I'm almost 60 years old, and I still love to be corrected. Because somebody that corrects me shows me they love me. I might get offended at it, don't get me wrong. And I may not even accept it right at first. But I promise you, if I go home and pray about it and God says, hey, you know, that's exactly what I told that person to tell you, guess what? Then I got no choice but to accept it. Again, another part of that hardened heart shell falls off. See, it don't just happen overnight. Your heart just don't blossom and your spirit grow and you just all of a sudden you're this perfect little saint and you got these little angel wings flopping behind your back and you got the little angel toting around your head going, hey, you're a good child of God now. You've made it. You don't work like that, folks. We have to lay down things daily. Paul said, I die daily. In other words, God was revealing things to Paul daily that he did that he probably didn't even know were sins until God revealed them to him. There's things that I've said in my life and I've done in my life. I didn't know they were wrong until I did them. And God said, whoa, wait a minute here. That's not cool. And I can go around blaming all kinds of people who's around me. I can blame all my friends for taking me down a negative road, or I can blame, you know, problems in the church for not being happy, or I can blame, you know, I can go as far as blaming Pastor John for something he preached across the pulpit and say, well, he preached that to me and he shouldn't have been doing that. Again, another part of that hardened heart shell falls off when you go, you know what? He had every right, and I didn't have no right blaming them for my sins. The worst thing you can do is blame a sinner for your sin. You know why? Because when you blame a sinner for your sin, you're keeping sin alive in their life. If you let them see you not do the sin they're doing, guess what? They're going to want to know what's going on in your life and why you're so much better off than they are. Are you perfect? No. But you still battle the same things, Brother Paul, that they do in life? Absolutely. But you know what you do have? You have a God that sees you through. You know, I was listening to Pastor John the other day, and he was admiring Sister Wanda Hughes back there. And he was talking about how that he's watched her go through all the struggles in life, but she still holds her head up. She still comes to church. She still praises God. She still says that there's a God in heaven worth worshiping, but yet we got some saints in here that's not been through half of what she's been through that can't say that. And it makes me ashamed. I don't speak for myself. It makes me ashamed sometimes because if it can be done, it needs to be done. And if it can happen, it needs to happen. And if you can't get past it, find a brother or sister that you have enough confidence in. Again, accountability partners. If you can't do it on your own, find somebody that you trust that you know doesn't run a little miles about things that goes on and talk to them and say, I need you to pray with me on something. God told me this and I can't get past it. Can you pray that God shows me something? And I promise you, I would be safe in saying within 48 hours, you're going to have an answer to that prayer and God's going to go, that's why this is not right. That's why this is not right. Verse 7, it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. See, now we went from God hardening Pharaoh's heart to us hardening our own heart. And that's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. You got to turn off the TV. You got to get back into your word. You got to get to your knees. You know, I get up at 4:30 in the morning. I don't work outside my home but one day a week. I stagger across the hallway, sit down, I log in, I go to work for a minute, get everything up and going, and the first thing after that I do, I turn my laptop on, I turn around, and my daughter still can't take that chair home. That's still my altar home. I turn around, I hit my knees, and I pop and crack like every old man does when I get down there, and I get down and I pray. And I'm going to tell you what my prayer is every single time that I pray. I start off by saying, My Heavenly Father, I acknowledge you as my King and my Savior. My Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to help me be a better man today than I was yesterday. Lord Jesus, please watch over my pastor. Guard his mind. Don't let the enemy get in and tempt him in thoughts. Shield his mind that he can take our church further than we've ever been. And then I break out and I start mentioning names of people that I know that are going through things. And that's my prayer every morning. It might seem a little bit redundant to you, but to me, it's my sacrificial prayer. Because I know I've done something today before that I shouldn't have done. I may not know what it is, but God does. And when I pray that prayer, God says, hey, this is what you done yesterday. Don't do this today. You know, I was listening to something the other day. Erica Kirk was talking, and she said Charlie Kirk used to, every Saturday morning, he sat down and he wrote her a love letter, regardless. He wrote her a love letter every single Saturday morning. But every morning he got up, he walked downstairs, he put his coffee on, and when she walked down the stairs, the first thing out of his mouth every single morning was, Erica, how can I be a better husband to you today? And that touched me so much, and I'm thinking, I started getting up in the morning saying, Kim, how can I be a better husband to you today? How can I be a better husband to you today? And then I say, God, how can I be a better servant to you today? How can you improve me? Because I can't improve me. This flesh isn't improvable unless you do it. The flesh and the heart wants what it wants. So you have to have the Spirit of the Holy Ghost inside of you to keep you in check. If I can't get anything else across to you tonight, like I said, this may not be no barn-burning message, but I hope it's a message that gets into your heart. That's what I'm hoping for, because it got into mine. And it made me realize sometimes you got to slide away from the table of the seat. It's kind of like sitting down and eating a meal, and you just keep stacking your plate up, and you know you're going to get fat, and you know the Bible talks about gluttony. And you just keep stacking it on anyways. Slide away from that table. And sometimes you got to slide away from the things in life that's causing you to think things you shouldn't do. You got to step back from them and go, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm on a diet. I'm getting away from that stuff. The spiritual man's got to grow in me. You know, I remember a message a long time ago as the musicians come. I'm going to get ready to come to a close. I remember a message a long time ago that Pastor John preached. And this is probably, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And in his message, he said, what you feed is what's going to grow. If you feed the flesh, it's going to grow. If you feed the Spirit, guess what? The Spirit's going to grow. And when the Spirit starts growing, and I don't know why I feel led to say this, but I'm going to say this to you. When the Spirit starts growing, don't stunt the growth. Don't stunt the growth. You know you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, and when God says don't do them, and God says don't do them in many different formats and ways, he can say it through the message, he can say it through a song, he can come to you himself, he can get the pastor to preach a message, he can come to you and say, don't do this, then don't do that no more. I heard something the other day, as it also touched my heart. I heard a young lady said, I had to go through my friend base and I had to do some cleaning. And I'm going, wow. Had to go through her friend base and do some cleaning. If we all could be so lucky. We need to go through our own house. We need to start wiping our own shelves. We need to start praying for ourselves. The Bible says, how can you take the beam out of your brother's eye when you got mote in yours? How can I help somebody grow if I got things in my life that are stunting my growth? You can't. And it all goes back to getting rid of a hardened heart. You can't do it on your own. You may not even do it here tonight at an altar call. But I promise you, in the next 48 to 72 hours, God's going to touch one of you guys' hearts in here, and you're going to begin to understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know why? Because I believe it. I believe it. I believe that God is going to make a difference in this church that's going to surpass anything you've ever been a part of. And I'm going to throw this out there. If you're coming to church and you're still in the same shape you was when you walked through the doors less than 6 months ago, you better ask for forgiveness and start over. Because I remember sitting down the road in the church down there, and I had a real good friend that come over to me one day, and we was talking about it. He'd done been asked to leave a couple of churches because he wouldn't abide by their rules. And he said, "Hey, are you guys a come-as-you-are church?" And I said, "Absolutely, we're a come-as-you-are church." I said, "But let me be clear, we're not a stay-as-you-are church." I said, "That's not what we practice here." And he got up and walked away, and I haven't talked to that man since, because he was so headstrong in what he was doing that he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to change his life to be a part of all this. And I'm telling you, I look around this room tonight and I see people that have changed their lives to be a part of this. This is special. This is growing. And you may not see it now, and you might even have a little bit of weeds in your garden still, but this place is growing. It's growing silently, which is the best growth of all. Because when it grows silently, the enemy can't see how you're growing openly. Don't get me wrong, I love to praise and worship. I love to shout and dance. I love the people walking around the church. And Sister Serena, when she walks around the church and she's speaking in tongues and her hands are in the air, it just blesses my soul to see that kind of stuff happen. It blesses my soul. So buckle up your seatbelts, folks. I heard a pastor say one time, "There's no seatbelts in this church. They ain't holding you." I'm telling you tonight, there's seatbelts in this church. There's spiritual seatbelts in this church. And people who love you will tell you that. Because they don't want to see you go back out there and get involved in the world and go back to the things you used to do. They want to see you change and serve God on a bigger format. And all I can say in closing tonight is trust. Trust He knows what He's doing. Trust Him. And if you don't trust Him, guess what? Trust Him anyways. And how you do that is you get on your knees and you pray for Him. And say, "God, if he's not making a godly decision, send him the right one to make. And God, if I'm thinking wrong, then take these thoughts out of my head." We don't have time to fight no more, folks. It's not battleship, it's fellowship. And I love that saying. And I thank you tonight for giving me an opportunity to talk to you. And I hope and pray that your hearts are changed tonight. God bless you.